gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by The Human Solution. The Human Solution sponsoring a huge medical marijuana freedom rally for true justice in front of the Long Beach, California courthouse starting this morning at 8 a.m. Come join us. Facebook, The Human Solution. All right. Oh, and also, that's right, this hour brought to you by...
It's bound to happen. You're getting a little older and a little thinner on top. That's when you use what's in the green bottle. It's Perry Hair. For a thick, lush, mindless head of hair, Perry Hair takes the follicles that are condemned to death and gives them a right to life. Just a few sprinkles of Perry Hair in the morning, and before you know it, your hair will be getting thicker, and your poles will be riding higher. Those other hair restoration methods are only a Ponzi scheme. Try Perry Hair from the makers of Just for Mint.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. All right, 7 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Listen, only Michelle Bachman can make Rick Perry look smart.
Yep.
She apparently, she was backpedaling a little bit on the... Here's what's happening in the world, Chris. Sean Hannity is the only one doing actually journalism now, so that's... Now we are really... We seriously are.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that had to go, what evidence do you have that this vaccine causes mental retardation? She's like, I just said it because someone else said it. That's science, right? Okay, and so Rick Perry looks so smart. Wow. Yeah. And Sean Hannity looks like a journalist. There's only one man that can unravel all this for us now.
Carl.
All right. Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. Oh, Carl, hold me. Help me. Good morning,
Bonjour.
Sir. Bonjour. Yeah, what is going on in the world?
It's crazy. I mean, I had to look at like a million photos of you in spandex.
Yes.
Sean Hannity is, practicing a modicum of journalism.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe the poles of the world are going to switch.
Yes.
Yes. It's frightening.
I know. I hear you. Love your piece about the Republicans killing the post office, among other things. I love this line. Why let a self-funding government agency flourish when you can privatize it and make your corporate cronies even richer? Left of the Republicans, we'd probably start receiving our mail intermittently from some smelly, scruffy, raggedy-dressed character on horseback like Kevin Costner from The Postman. It's enough to make you go postal. Yes. What? I mean, they just... Who was it that said... Congressman from New York. But, I mean, they just literally... They want to repeal the New Deal. They just want us to go back to what? No government at all, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to repeal Manifest Destiny at some point.
Yeah.
Every deal that we've ever had, it's frightening. And what's more frightening is it's always weird to hear the women of the Republican Party advocating this. You know, we want to go back to the framers. I always thought it was funny when Michelle Bachman talked about, you know, not only did she talk about how the founders wanted to repeal slavery, but,
yes,
you know, she wasn't a real, you know, American in their eyes. They better be careful before they go too far.
Yeah, in fact, you go too far back and you don't even get to vote, let alone be president,
right,
sister. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, evil Uncle Chuckles, he hasn't been here in a while.
Yeah, this is kind of making headlines everywhere for what he said about Alzheimer's.
Yikes, this sounds Christian to me. Pat Robertson and his co-host on the 700 Club.
Pat, this is Andreas, who says, I have a friend whose wife suffers from Alzheimer's.
If he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again.
Well,
to make sure she has custodial care and somebody looking after her.
But that's
the vow that we take when we marry someone.
Yeah,
it's for better,
well,
for worse, for richer, for poorer.
I know, if you respect that vow, but you say, look, death do us part, this is the kind of death. I certainly wouldn't put a guilt trip on you.
Ah, I see. So God's a little iffy on whether that's included in the vow, that kind of sickness. Wow, it's the new Gingrich vows. It's the some inconvenient illness makes me kind of icked out
now.
Yeah,
what's that? Yeah,
he isn't out now. Pat said so. You guys, it's
wow,
cool.
Wow,
it's nice. Frightening. I mean, especially for a man that's getting up there in his age.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Robertson. Yeah, that's so wow. Nice of him, though, to offer some sort of custodial care, which is nice. That's comforting to any spouse.
Well, and you know, I love that he gets to play doctor at this level too. He's like, you know, he's like, well, it is a kind of death, and you said death to his part.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some really, spiritual gymnastics.
Right? Carl, isn't it kind of instinctive lately with where it seems like this Republican Party is going when you look at these latest debates? Like, literally people cheering for death, saying, let people die. I'm like, is it me, or are we getting even meaner? Are they getting even meaner as a party?
I hate to say this isn't your daddy's Republican Party. You know, with you it means something. But now it's, I wouldn't even say this is Neanderthal's Republican Party. I mean, this is not the Republican Party. This got eaten out from the inside and became something entirely different. And it is, this is not the Republican Party that anybody should even recognize.
Yeah. Can I have my Isn't It Ironic file? Because I have to. Julie in Seattle sent me this, and what we were talking about is that horrible Ron Paul moment where they asked, you know, this hypothetical guy that doesn't have insurance, and you know, should we let him die? And the audience is yelling, "Yes, yes, let him die."
Yeah.
In the Isn't It Ironic file, Julie says, Steph, after Ron Paul set forth his Take Your Chances If You Get Sick, Have a Church Bake Sale medical plan on Monday night, it's time for a feature from the Isn't It Ironic. Kent Snyder, his presidential manager in 2008, was 49, in good health, without health insurance because he had a pre-existing condition, I guess that made it too expensive, according to his sister. He took seriously ill in 2008, died of pneumonia, leaving behind $400,000 in unpaid medical bills for his aged mother, who couldn't afford them either. Now, one would think if anyone would have access to a vast sea of charity-minded libertarians and church people ready to step in and help out in times of trouble, it would be Ron Paul's campaign manager.
Yeah.
This wasn't even hypothetical. I mean, he obviously knew somebody like this.
Well, I mean, Ron Paul, you cannot expect him to ever be logical. I mean, everything with the libertarians is like Destiny Yahtzee. It's one thing for them to deny evolution, not want it taught in our schools, but they would love to practice social Darwinism, which is just so completely funny. It's
well, and this guy,
I
apparently...
I can't wait to see the next debate and see what they scream for. I mean, like...
Well, and ironically, too, I mean, this guy apparently raised so much money for Ron Paul. He was largely, responsible for how Ron Paul has gotten where he's gotten, and you just go, wow. You know, I mean...
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But this is the purity test that these strange libertarian whack jobs live in. And it's what also makes them feel superior to everybody else around them. They think that they're better than conservatives because they're liberal on social issues, and they think they're better than liberals because they're conservative on economic issues. And in the end of it, they're worse than both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I've always maintained that liberalism looks great on paper until you apply it to real life, and then it just completely falls apart.
You mean liberalism or
libertarianism? Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because you were almost.
You're fired.
And
I know.
Then you'd have
yes.
no health insurance.
Now, I think it looks good on paper, but it falls apart when it's applied in real life.
Yes, the libertarian magic fairy dust.
Yeah.
Not so practical.
Liberalism.
Okay.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. Did you see that look on my face?
What?
Yeah. It's like,
me?
What?
All right. Linda Harvey on Mission America Radio?
Yes.
Huh.
She has a little radio show.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world can the left be aligned with these folks? Well, there's a real simple
radical Islam
answer, I think, in that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. They all hate the actual Judeo-Christian heritage and those who uphold it. They hate the West. And, of course, we are not perfect. We can look around and see some of our own problems, but they hate the ideology. They hate the freedom. It's a spiritual thing. They hate Jesus Christ.
Oh. Huh?
And so, this is why you have the homosexual and pro-abortion feminists remaining silent or actually being apologists for radical Islam.
Wow. Wow!
Well,
are you sure that wasn't a Saturday Night Live sketch? That's that NPR sketch. Come on. She's not real.
It sounded like Victoria Jackson went through puberty and had a lower voice.
Yeah. Sounded like she
who plays the radio?
Anna Gasteyer and Molly Shannon.
Yes. Yeah. Come on. Is that real?
That was real.
It's frightening. I mean, how does she know so much about me?
That was Betty Bowers talking about the Islam-loving homosexual something, pro-abortion feminist, like you. Okay, wow, that was even funner. Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
Boehner put out a press release immediately, and featured prominently in the press release was Boehner assuring everybody how eager the Republicans were to work with Obama on this. Mm. The traditional campaign strategery and themes often used by consultants needs to be thrown out. We're in a new era here. There's the numbers of people that want Republicans to work together with Obama is such a small number you would lose elections if you got every one of them.
Hmm. You know, Carl, that strikes me as completely not true. The opposite of what most polls are showing.
But, you know, when maybe he's just talking to Snurtly in his studio.
Yeah.
But
it was fictional.
You know,
yes.
this is the clarion call of the Republican Party. This is him getting up on top of the mountaintop and telling everybody, okay, you're sounding like you want to work with the president. Cut that out, guys. Cut it out. I'm the boss here. I mean, people forget that in 1994, when Republicans took control of Congress for the first time in 50 years, that they made Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of their delegation. So, you know, this is just him, you know, throwing some elbows in the Republican caucus.
Yeah, but isn't this more, in some ways, the extreme of this anti-government extreme? This is, you know, where I say again that I don't think my dad in Goldwater would recognize this party. They had disagreements with the Democratic side, but the point of government was to work together to get things done. I mean, this is, you're exactly right. Now you have a radio host that really is the head of a party that is saying under no how does government operate? I guess it just doesn't, right?
Well, it doesn't. What they want is complete control. They want everybody to be of their same mindset, and that's not.
That sounds like democracy.
Yeah, it's not democracy. It's fascism.
Yeah. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with Right Wing World in a moment on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. Pardon me.
Oh, dear.
That was lovely. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. We've returned to Bender after the bottom of the hour. Right now, oh, speaking of which, we have a new picture of Michelle Bachmann and her husband, Marcus, up on our Facebook page.
On the Facebook page, and people are writing captions for it.
Yes, you guys are scamps. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's bending over, and he's behind her. We'll just say that.
Yep.
Good morning, Carl Frisch. Welcome back.
Good morning. So we know how the Bachmanns met. But how did you and Lisa, was it Chris Hansen that introduced you to?
Who's Chris Hansen?
To Catch Predator.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Get in the penalty box and stay there.
Why don't you come inside and have some iced tea?
All right. Listen, Carl Frisch, let's continue with Right Wing World. Newt Gingrich on the Hannity.
Key question for the president is he willing to learn anything about what's going on in the economy? Or is he just determined to stick with class warfare and bureaucratic socialism in a style that is really aggressively unwilling to negotiate?
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Jeez, Louise. I know he doesn't have cancer, but can I divorce him?
Oh, Carl.
I'm so done with him.
Yeah. It really is. It's just, it's opposite worlds these days in right wing. And by the way, you know, well, who is it? I keep trying to think of the congressman from upstate New York, but it really is, we're not even just talking corporatism with this Republican Party. It's like back to the robber barons, essentially, right? They want no regulation of any kind,
it's
no
actually
tax.
Worse than when the robber barons were here now. The disparity in wealth is more extreme now than it was then, if you can believe it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Sean Hannity and who's this, Charlie Gasparino?
Yes.
Oh. All right, let's go to the debate last night. We showed you Rick Perry, Ponzi scheme. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. I mean, listen, it's not illegal, right? You know, technically a Ponzi scheme has to be made off, has to be an illegal scheme. But there's no doubt that you're paying as you go. It's not like the money's invested and you get what you put in based on some.
No, they stole the money.
It's an irrational system.
Who's they stole the money? Exactly, Carl.
Well, here's my question. If if Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, then isn't Medicare, the VA, every form of private insurance, whether it's earthquake insurance, weather insurance, tornado insurance, car insurance, health care insurance, isn't all form of insurance a Ponzi scheme,
yes,
if that's the case?
If that's the, yeah, exactly. I love it. Well, it's not technically illegal.
Yeah.
No, in that it's not at all illegal.
And,
it was.
Yeah. And then Hannity says the government stole the money from you. He's putting that out there into the world.
Does he mean the Bush administration? Or
no, just the government takes it from your paycheck.
Yeah,
they steal it from you.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Britt Baer and Daryl Issa. Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Like 8 Democrats on your committee have written you a letter asking you to investigate the allegations of actions by the parent company of this network, News Corporation, allegations that the company sought to hack telephones of 9/11 victims and other U.S. citizens. Where do you stand on this?
We're keeping an eye on it. But at the same time, this is a story that is about a unit in another country, and we want to make sure that we don't enter the ground that is most inappropriate for us, which is we don't start picking on media, whether they're the left or the right, just because we can.
Really? How about all the times he's harassed the New York Times with largely empty charges of inaccuracy?
Well, didn't they pass, like, a resolution against the New York Times?
Yes.
Over some stuff they reported for Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yes.
My favorite was how Britt Baer was like, allegations made against the parent company of this network.
Yeah.
You know, because he had to make sure that ISA knew that, or the American people at home had no idea that ISA was also part of the parent company.
Yes.
But the entire right-wing infrastructure is part of the same parent company.
Yes. Well, also, the other thing is he just said, oh, it's in another country. Well, even in the question, it just said that 9/11 victims that were, you know, who were hacked by, they were living in the U.S., obviously.
Well, and I don't remember the name of the law. I think it's called the Foreign... I don't remember what it's called. People can Google it, but there is a law that if this is what happened, that that these people actually broke. You know, just because somebody is in another country doesn't mean that we don't go after them and prosecute.
Yeah, well, we don't if we're Daryl Issa and it's a Republican company.
That's right.
No.
Okay.
Carl,
exactly. Carl Frisch, love you. Mean it.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, honey. There he goes.
Hooray.
Carl Frisch. Jane, real quick, in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jane.
Hi. You know, it's funny that you're just talking about the media there, and that was my comment. You know, I'm a news junkie, and I, you know, watch all kinds of news except for Fox News. I try not to watch that.
Yes.
But, you know, just recently, you know, just in the last week, just, you know, everything has been, you know, bashing the president. I mean, everybody...
I know. Well, you know, we'll talk to David Bender about that, because CNN, the headline is, time to panic. Carville to Obama, time to panic. We'll find out if it's time to panic. We're next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I'm not in any position to judge. I once did a guy for a tank of gas.
Gas is expensive.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's that time of the week. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
That means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning. Where did you get that tape of me and the man in the tank of gas?
you're chatty.
I thought I burned all copies of that.
Yes, indeed. So, David Bender, lots to talk about. You know, the Politico headline, Twin Defeats Spark Democratic Fears. It seems not... Chris and I were just talking about the Chiron on CNN is, you know, Carville to Obama, time to panic.
Yeah.
Is it time to panic?
Well, since no one can really understand James Carville when he speaks, I'm not sure that that's what he said. I mean, it may be that that's how it came out on the Chiron, but he may have said it's time for pizza.
Yes, yes.
That's New Orleans, you know.
Yeah, so I understand, yes.
I know you do, and that's the thing. Here's what I understand. First off, let's have a brief moment to breathe. Everyone breathe. There was an election in a congressional district in New York 2 days ago, New York 9, Anthony Weiner's old district. And by the way, he went in and voted and was very dismayed when he discovered he wasn't on the ballot.
Yes.
But there are some uniquely local issues going on there. Let's say this much just for people to understand. What really happened there was the Orthodox Jewish community turned out in a low turnout vote. They turned out heavily. And this was a message. Yes, it was about Israel. Democrat Ed Koch sent out a letter attacking the Democrats, saying, you know, the vote for the Republican was a vote for Israel. You got these messages going out. So if this is viewed as a referendum solely on Barack Obama, that's a mistake. Now,
well, let me just say we got wind of it. Okay, I was just going to say, well, let's go back to the, because we got a call yesterday from somebody in New York, and so that's again, you know, to me, one of what they always sort of do is try to fear monger and divide. And you're absolutely right. I've heard more and more about that in terms of the Orthodox Jewish vote, but I think in any special election, like you say, it's all about turnout. And I mean, look at the other race, the Kathy Hochul race. I mean, that, you know, that was a huge media storyline. That was a big upset for that. That's the first time that's been in Democratic hands in a billion years.
Let's go back farther than that. Scott Brown took Ted Kennedy's seat, and that was supposed to be the end of health care in America. That was the message voters were sending. Health care was in head the president. Thought from consideration, it was over. So a lot of people panicked. After that stuff, and these things always happen, and because it's a 24/7.
Uh-oh. David Binda. Why are we having so much phone trouble recently?
Are you there, David? No.
Oh, heavens.
We might need to call him back. He's got a better connection.
We will call him back.
Yeah.
I mean, but that it's what you and I were just commenting on. I think a lot of it's the media needs a storyline.
Absolutely.
That last one benefited us. It was like, oh, my God. You know,
and so we ran with it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know.
But, you know, I actually have heard from more people in New York that knew the actual campaign, though, and said there was a parallel. But what David just said is that Martha Coakley ran a bad campaign, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just, you know, it's like there, in every race, I think there's special circumstances. And this one, the Orthodox Jewish thing, I think, was a big factor. David Bender returns.
And David Weprin ran a bad campaign, almost as bad as Martha Coakley did.
And the ironic thing is he's, of course, an Orthodox Jew. I mean, but you're right. They were able to, you know.
Well, he was an Orthodox Jew who voted for same-sex marriage.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Here they go again, fear-mongering and dividing. It's like, oh, you know, so exactly. They were going for the gay-bashing vote and you know, oh, you're not pro-Israel enough, right?
Yeah, no, and so there were special circumstances. But listen, Stephanie, if radio show hosts run the Congress, as Carl wisely pointed out, Russia's been running the Republicans since 1994, can you finally take over the reins of this one?
I think
because
so.
I'm really serious. The problem is, and problem is the president does need his American president moment.
Yeah.
What is starting to happen with the American Jobs Act? Harry Reid is now saying, you know, it's a good bill, but we may have to pick it apart. We can't get to a vote on it for another month. And that's a Democratic controlled Senate. And until the president's going to go around campaigning for this bill around the country, and it won't get a vote.
Elliot Engel. Elliot Engel said that, you know, the Democratic congressman from New York, he said, you know, the feisty Barack Obama, the one we knew and loved and voted for in 2008, reappeared last week. I think and hope that's going to be the Obama we're going to see from now to election time. So, I mean, there is some of that. Like you say, when you look at any particular race, particularly a special election, there could be a bunch of different factors.
Yeah, but there's no, but Stephanie, there's no Bob Rumson. And the problem with this president, it's great to be feisty, but again, what he did, he looked out there at the joint session and said, all of us are responsible. All of us are not responsible. The Republicans are responsible for blocking every economic initiative for the last 3 years. It's time to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no hot seat, you can't grill an opponent. And he's not put anyone on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing, I think, you know, you as a longtime political strategist, there are things, I think there are warning signs in these elections, don't you, in that I know, you know, they've also blamed, I guess, as you would call it, an anemic urban machine, distracted labor unions, disloyal voters. It is kind of like we're going to have to get our together for the big one, right?
Well, there's no question, and the turnout will be much greater a year from now. But again, it is over a year from now. We have no idea what the circumstances are going to be. But the storyline that you're going to be reading is that Democrats are going to run away from Barack Obama the way they ran away from Jimmy Carter. And by the way, can we just take a moment to point out that Pat Robertson basically would have been calling for Nancy Reagan to leave Ronald Reagan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, are they? Well, I won't go there. We fill in the blanks. That's who these people really are.
Well, that's what we were saying.
It's a tough time. It's a tough time for Democrats.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I mean. It's just, you know, you and I like watch this Republican debate, or you listen to what Pat Robertson just said, and you're like, are we crazy? Or are these people just really mean?
Well, they're
mean. Is this a strain of Republican that's, you know?
And the real question is, and this is the tougher part, is how many, is this just a small group of AstroTurf, Dick Army, Tea Party Express Republicans, or is this a broad sentiment out there in the land? I see that the Tea Party is, as a name, is rated lower than Muslims and atheists. I can read those same polls. But the problem is when you start talking about some of these issues, about freeloaders getting health care and illegal immigrants, the numbers go through the roof. And when you ask Americans as a group if they believe in evolution, 38% of Americans, now this is not just Republicans, mind you, 38% of Americans believe in evolution. What does that leave as the number that doesn't believe in evolution?
And how many people believe that vaccines cause mental retardation?
Michelle Bachmann.
Yes,
who,
but I mean,
apparently was vaccinated as a child.
That's right.
Yeah. you know. But seriously, when we're in a world now where Sean Hannity is the only one doing journalism, like calling her on it, and somehow she's managed to make Rick Perry look smart.
You may have missed this last night, but Anderson Cooper raked her over the coals. Anderson Cooper not only played that soundbite from the Today Show, but then put together a string of Michelle Bachmann's greatest insane hits, probably a dozen of them, and posed the question, and had her former chief of staff on, and said, is the reason that Michelle Bachmann saying these things, is it because she has bad information? And the former chief of staff who quit, he said, the reason that a lot of staff have been, he tried to be polite about it, have been frustrated with the congresswoman, is that she will read something, but she won't read it all the way through.
Yeah.
And really, isn't that what you want in a president?
Yes.
We have George Bush who would read one page. We have Michelle Bachmann who doesn't get through a sentence.
Yeah, exactly. When he's on vacation. Yeah. Terrorists threatened to strike and blah, blah, blah.
I got a lot of brush to clear.
Yeah, I got to go.
Yeah.
if it's any indication thus far, though, you're absolutely right. This will be, you know, the same kind of fear-mongering they always do in dividing. You know, if you don't have a job, it's the brown people. If you're something wrong with your marriage, it's the gay people. But maybe even worse, you know, our friend Debbie Stabenow, the great Democratic senator from Michigan, one of five Republicans running against her, Peter Konatevi, I don't know how you pronounce his name, he wants to cap the number of Muslims around allowed into America. He just said right now we're at war with Islam.
Let's put a limit on that. You know, we've seen this kind of rhetoric. We're going to continue to see it. Basically, you know, we'll try and drive Keith Ellison, you know, back across the border where he belongs. It's nuts. And there are always the Orly Tates. There are always the extremists. But the fact is, again, what's happened is these extremists are allowed to be interviewed and they pull the middle so far to the right that, as you say, your father and Barry Goldwater wouldn't have a prayer. Neither would Ronald Reagan in this Republican Party. So the real question is, when is it time for this president to have his American president moment? When is it time for him to say, we have an enemy in this country? We have people, and use that word. There are people who want you to be in a hospital and not have health care. There are people who don't want your children to be educated, and they are the Republican Party. That's what Harry Truman did. He didn't wait until after the election, and this is where Hal Sparks and I disagree. Sparks says he's going to do it after he's reelected. It's way too late.
All right, can you hang on?
I'll hang as long as AT&T allows.
All right. Let's say we will. Yes, we will get into the man fight between David Bender and Al Sparks on all that as we continue 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. David Bender of ProgressiveVoices.com
returns. Progressive Voices mobile app, and you should check it out because there's some very interesting stuff on this New York 9 race and what really happened there and why panic is a little premature. But, you know, David, for
those of you just tuned in, recap that quickly.
Again, there was an election to replace Anthony Weiner's seat. Yes, exactly. The thing that he didn't take pictures of.
Yes.
And what wound up happening was that a Republican would run before. And you know who this guy is? He's a 70-year-old former broadcast executive. And his notable achievement in life, the guy who won this election, is that he created the Jerry Springer Show.
And also the wildly successful Rush Limbaugh TV show.
Ooh, yeah, no. I mean, he's got a track record. But having said that, this seat won't exist in 2 months, and because they're redistricting it anyway, it's going to be cut out. The real issue here was that locally, issues like support for Israel, gay marriage, very heavily Orthodox turnout in Queens and Brooklyn, that's what was going on here. Many elections are local, but it is important to say that the president's popularity right now is considered a vulnerability for a lot of Democrats, and Democrats are easily panicked.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, is if I have to read one more headline, Democrats fret over blank. Democrats in a panic over blah. It's like, everybody, calm down, you know?
Well, everybody grow a pair and stand up and say, this is what you believe for. I would like to hear this president say, and this is, we talked about where Hal Sparks and I disagree. I would like to hear this president say, look, enough about this, or they'll call him an angry black man. Have you not paid attention? They've been calling him that since the first day.
Right.
It doesn't matter what he says. He can be the most conciliatory, the most America is not red or blue. It's United States of America, and they still say,
David,
he's an angry black Muslim.
Right. We just played, Newt Gingrich in Right Wing World saying, he's what do they say? He has shown, a complete inability to compromise or work.
Gingrich said that.
The exact opposite of what's been true.
It is the opposite world. So if you know that they are going to do that anyway, and if apparently that is working, it is time for this president to say what I believe he actually holds in his heart. And that's we get his brain, but we don't see his heart. And it is time to see it. He has to show the passion that he showed with health care when he said, my mother spent the last months of her life worrying about insurance bills she would leave to her children while she was dying of cancer at 53. He has got to say that, but he's got to say it not just about what he's for. He's got to say what he's against. He's got to say that people who want, like those Republicans, those Tea Partiers, got to call them out.
Right. And by the way, I saw this somewhere. I mean, in terms of seizing the narrative, because you're right, you can't count on the media to do it. Where did you see this headline anywhere? Affordable Care Act is working. Change. If you look at a graph, Jonathan Cohn at TNR. It's a change in uninsured 2009-2010 shows 500,000 Americans have health care coverage who didn't last year. And when Medicaid kicks in for a large number of lower-income Americans, along with other provisions in 2014, the success will be even greater. Again, who's talking about that?
Nobody's talking about it. We have literally millions of jobs, that is in the multiple millions that have been created by the stimulus, which was not big enough. It was about half what it should have been. And we have Rick Perry standing on that stage the other night saying zero. And if you multiply, that was the number. He said zero jobs have been created by the stimulus,
yes,
except for the 170,000 that were created in Texas that he's taking credit for.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it is mind-boggling how much they will lie. And this is again, to the point. If the president does not say, my opponents are lying, the people who are saying these things to you about the stimulus, about the government, he is saying now, and I heard him 2 days ago say, if the argument is the government can't create jobs, I disagree with that. Well, that's great. Disagree with it. But then say, here are the people who are not telling you the truth. And they are Eric Cantor and John Boehner, and call them all out by name.
Yep.
That's where we are right now. And if that doesn't happen, Stephanie, my fear is the numbers you see about Congress are not just that people don't like Republicans in Congress. They hate all of Congress.
Yeah.
They blame everybody.
Yeah, they're dragging everybody down with them. You get it. I get it. People are, out here in California, actually, another headline yesterday, Obama's approval rating takes a hit. He's at 46% approval, 44% disapproval, but that's a drop of 8 points since June.
That's a disaster in California. For this state.
Right. But what they're saying is one bright spot in the poll, and here we go again, they generally like the president. 55% of voters view Obama favorably, a sign that the state has not completely written him off. So, I think it's people like you that are saying, here's what you need to do to,
They liked Jimmy Carter, too. He smiled a lot, and they liked him. They just didn't respect him. And this is what it comes down to. We've heard this in the old Bill Clinton line about, strong and wrong and weak and right. Barack Obama needs to be strong and right.
Mm-hmm. But I think he, in my opinion, he has been doing that with this jobs bill, the jobs speech, with taking it, to the voters.
I agree 50%. But until there is a villain in the narrative, until it is very plain that this is an either or, this will be a referendum on Barack Obama. He will lose that referendum. Any incumbent would. And that's why Democratic senators are in great danger, because there are twice as many Democratic senators up next time. Any incumbent is vulnerable. A lot of House Republicans, a lot of these Tea Party freshmen are going to lose because all incumbents are vulnerable in this climate.
Yep. Wait, speaking of a villain, let's get one now. John in Amherst says there's no way Obama will win. Hello, John. You're on with David Bender.
Hey, John.
Uh-oh.
John? Oh, come on. John, you couldn't hang for us. All right. John was going to say there's no way. I mean, although, here's the good news, David. As a political strategist, John has been wrong every single time
made
a prediction on this show.
Yeah, well, but remember me. I supported Ted Kennedy and Howard Dean, and you remember their presidencies as well. look, here's the bottom line. This president deserves to be reelected. He has done more for this country in 3 years than many presidents have done in 20 or 40. If you look at cumulative records, he has been fiscally responsible. He has been socially incredible. But people do not respect his ability to stand up for what he believes in, and that is what he's got to show. It's more than proposing; he's got to oppose the other side, and we got to keep telling him that if we love him, and we do.
Yeah, yes, indeed, we do. David Bender, progressivevoices.com,
progressivevoices.com, but it's the Progressive Voices mobile app, and you can get it on your iPhone and on your Droid, and you should, because that's how you'll find out everything there is to know if you want to be a good progressive.
There you go. All right, and we
love
do.
You.
I love you. Love you more than air. Can't breathe without you. Miss you already. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Oh, comedian Rick Overton live in studio.
What?
For
no,
the next
you didn't
hours.
Tell me that.
Yes. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh. This hour brought to you by The Human Solution. They're sponsoring a huge medical marijuana freedom rally for true justice in front of the Long Beach, California courthouse starting this morning at 8 a.m. Come join us. Facebook The Human Solution. Oh, I hate to say that in front of Rick Overton. He doesn't support that sort of thing. Hello, comedy royalty. Rick Overton is in the house.
We are pleased. By the way,
by the way, Jim Ward has not grown a beard. That is actually Rick Overton on Ustream. Yes. Jim Ward is no in casa yet. Good morning, Rick Overton.
Good morning, Angel.
You were in Edinburgh with our good friend Hal Sparks.
That's right. And I'm sober now. For a couple of years, I've been sober.
Talking to the microphone,
honey. I'm sober now.
Thank you.
And if you want to test how sober you are, go to Scotland to find out if you're sober. Man, I went to all these pubs, and you wanted my hand to shake and to reach for a pint. It's not alcohol to us.
Yeah.
A pint is not alcohol. You can drink five of these and go to an AA meeting here.
All right, StephanieMiller.com, the Stephanie Miller website, SexyLiberal.com, and SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out. Michelle writes, Steph, I'd like you to be official South Florida registered Republican closet progressive cookie baking shut-in housewife on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why is she a registered Republican?
She just is, but she's a fan.
Oh, okay.
Thanks to you and Randy, I now use the amazing cedar side of my adopted Great Dane and his kitty cat siblings. I even use it on myself when I have to do something out in the yard in the evening. I live in South Florida, and the bugs in the evening and early morning could drain you dry faster than a Republican plan for Social Security reform. I think she's more really other than a closet progressive, but okay. This leads me to yet another topic. Your South Florida show, Sexy Liberal Show in Fort Lauderdale. My dear darling husband brought us a pair of VIP tickets for that venue. I'm excited and terrified. Please be gentle. Oh, Michelle. Now, we are gentle with all of our Republican friends. My 87-year-old Republican mom is coming to Asheville, North Carolina next Saturday for the big show.
You go, girl.
The San Francisco show, I don't think my mom's going to be ready for that one.
No.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my heart.
Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hotties are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 28th at 8 p.m., Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets are available online at shnsf.com by calling 888-746-1799. Or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
Okay. Hurry, get it. Rick Overton. The comedy writing itself these days, as you know, with the Republican field. Have you been watching debates and...
Yes. Notepad out.
Yes.
Pen in hand.
It's a little Lord of the Flies, isn't it? People cheering, openly cheering for death and execution and letting uninsured people die.
That's right, because they're the party of life.
Exactly.
We're about life.
Exactly. Thank you, Rick. So that's leave it to him to point out the irony. And the anti-science party. Michelle Bachmann now backing away from remarks she made, suggesting that... See, this is what they... The only thing that got booed was him saving little girls' lives with a... vaccine. Backing away from remarks she made suggesting the vaccine that Rick Perry tried to make mandatory in Texas could cause mental retardation, she said Tuesday she had no idea if that were true. She just thought she'd say it.
She was vaccinated, right? You were saying.
After the debate, she said, "This is what you know." She just told a little anecdote. She said she met a mother in the audience who told her the drug had severe side effects for her daughter. There's a woman who came up to me crying tonight after the debate. She said her daughter was given that vaccine. She told me the daughter suffered mental retardation as a result of that vaccine. Sean Hannity now, the only one doing journalism. That's what's happened. So when pressed by Sean Hannity the next day on his radio show, which she had just repeated the remarks again on the Today Show, Bachmann said she didn't know if the drug could cause such side effects. I have no idea, she said, before repeating the story about the woman again. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physician. All I was doing was reporting what a woman told me last night at the debate.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a
Hannity,
scientist. I'm a groundling. I'm just improvising.
Hannity says, the criticism, Congresswoman, is there's no evidence the vaccine causes mental retardation. The evidence backs up Hannity's skepticism. I really, seriously, because I thought I was in opposite world reading this story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, well, journalism saved by Sean Hannity.
Great.
No such link has been proven, say medical experts. A actual scientist said there is zero credible scientific evidence and that vaccines cause mental retardation or autism. She should cease trying to foment fear in order to advance her political agenda. Talk radio host Rush Limbaugh echoed Hannity's skepticism. Saying that Bach, I mean, if you're too crazy, I mean, seriously, if you're too crazy for Rush Limbaugh and
for Limbaugh China, to turn on you, you got to be doing something right.
He said that Bachman jumped the shark. Ed Morrissey, a writer for Hot Air, one of the largest conservative blogs, said it looks more like Bachman sensed that she had won a point and wanted to go in for the kill, didn't bother to check the facts, didn't care that she was stoking an anti-vaccination paranoid conspiracy theory either. Neither shines a particularly favorable light on Bachman.
Bachman jumped herself.
Yeah.
She is the shark.
Exactly. And how is that even possible? So, this is pineapple upside down world now in right wing world. And here's the other thing. I just sort of assumed that, like most, a lot of Republicans in the Tea Party, Sarah Palin was racist, but apparently not. According to rumors.
Oh, yes.
What's the story? Oh, it's according to a new book that's out.
Yeah, who knows if it's true, Rick Overton, that she had a one night stand with Glenn Rice, the basketball star.
Yes.
Oh, one night stand.
While doing cocaine?
Yes!
While her husband videoed with that night vision sitting in the corner with the lights out and just a brandy snifter.
Rick Overton was just improvising those details. We don't know. Yeah. What we do know is
that... I picture him sitting there going, game on!
He was a hoop star when he, Glenn Rice, when he met Palin. She was, you remember she was a sports reporter at that time?
Right.
In Alaska. It was a one-night stand over Thanksgiving weekend, 1987, is what the paper's reporting. The Inquirer, that paper. Oh. But
we call it the paper.
They've been right about, they're right about John Edwards, and so I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Men in Black.
Palin was described by a friend as the aggressor, with the pal reporting that she hauled his ass down. Yikes. Less than a year later, Palin was pregnant by husband Todd, and the couple eloped. The book also repeated allegations that she had a six-month affair with her husband's business partner in the 1990s. I believe his name was Brad!
Brad!
In the snow machine business.
Yeah. Todd! Brad!
Well, Todd and Brad sold snow machines together, didn't they? Isn't that what it was?
Okay. Yes, it was a snow machine business, as she calls them.
Snowma.
The snow machine.
Snow machine.
The book also reports Palin was once seen snorting cocaine off the top of a 55-gallon drum while snowmobiling. The aforementioned snow machines.
They get 55-gallon drums of cocaine.
I don't...
Come to Alaska. Forget the scenery. Yeah.
That's not snow.
If they're doing that outside, wouldn't I the cocaine like,
yeah,
freeze?
Talk about
free
gum freeze.
Buggers?
Yeah. Oh,
what?
You know,
well,
that's a different kind of gum freeze. Carol in New York with the opposing view on the New York congressional race. Hello, Carol.
Hi. You know, I'm in New York 9, and I also know a lot of the inner workings that were going on here, and I didn't get anybody to knock on my door from the Democratic Party until the night before the election. They didn't even have a complete list of all the people in the House that were going to be voting Democratic for the election.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not helpful. Second of all, I just totally disagree with David Bender and all these people who continue this meme that the president is not strong enough, that he has not called out the Republicans. It's simply not true. He's gone after Boehner. He's gone after Cantor. He's gone after these people time after time after time.
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps if our people would start legislating some of the proposals that he sent out and take the knife out of his back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I that's what I was saying, Carol, particularly on this jobs bill and on his speeches and on the speeches, you know, in city after city. I think he's very strongly taken it to the Republicans.
And we've given them permission to do a lot of this stuff because I have this firm contention that had we come out in full force against Joe Wilson from South Carolina when he stood up and shouted out to the president, "You lie," the first time that's ever been done, and continue all these crazy memes that they have, and how they ever convinced us, or some of us, that this is all the president's fault with the economy and everything, I'll never know. That was like the greatest short of hand ever.
Right. Carol, one of the things that has been talked about a lot in the New York race in particular is the union sort of sitting it out, the unions kind of sitting it out. What's your take on that? Because I know, you know, labor guys quoted as saying Obama needs to reconnect with labor, get in the trenches with us again. I mean, it seems like on both sides we need to get it together before the presidential election, right?
You know what, Stephanie? I'm a member of three unions here. Some of them you guys are members of.
Yeah.
I'm a member of three unions.
Yeah.
I never heard from any of my union representatives about New York 9. Not one email, not one phone call. And can I just do something really quick, Stephanie?
I
want to apologize to Chris and Jim because the last time I called in, you had Carlos on the air with you guys.
Right.
And I was so angry. I was so frustrated that I really took it out on Jim and Chris, and I didn't mean to. And I'm really sorry for that.
Oh, Carol, that's not necessary. Yeah. I do it every day, and I never apologize.
Carol. Actually, I'd probably forgotten about that, but no, we love it when you call in and get feisty.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, Carol. I'm in two unions too, and I just hope that we all get it together and get re-energized. And
me too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Rick Overton. Oh, look, Jim Ward is here. Hello, Jim.
Rick may have been in Scotland. I was in virtual Scotland last night.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's not alcohol. It's only whiskey.
All right. Rick, what's your take on the president? On the, I mean, obviously a lot of people with a lot of theories about what's going to happen in 2012. Or, 12.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture the can of whoop-ass he has to pop out to sort of crawl out of some of the mud pit he's fallen into here, that Sisyphean rock that never rolls completely up, that we were getting promised would roll up to the surface of the ground again. I don't know what he has to do now to pull that out. It's got to have to be Hogwarts magic stuff to get out of, doing some of the things that he's now been knocked so far back by being conciliatory.
Yeah.
And bullies don't respond great to being conciliatory. They think they can do it more.
Yeah,
they think they can knock you back further when they don't get hit early.
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying earlier is, it's just, again, you can only say it so many times that this is just not my dad's Republican Party, but it's just, they're not only, against him, they're against any kind of government, I guess, of any kind. So, how do you try to make government operate when they're just not interested at all?
Today's Republicans are like an alien invasion, and today's Democrats are like UFO deniers during an alien attack.
Yes.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere now, even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. George in Gary, Indiana, you're on with Rick Overton and Company. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, George.
Hey, listen, the thing that's been bothering me an awful lot lately is that every single piece of positive economic news on the industrial corporate media is juxtaposed by some negative thing, and it's always not good enough. Secondly, what is this deafening silence of all our Democratic friends in the House and Senate? Are they afraid of their reelection, and they're more worried about reelection than the country? Why aren't more of our guys speaking up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
What happened,
George,
to these guys?
I said that earlier, that if I have to read one more headline that says Democrats fret over over blank, it's like, is that what we do? Politico has a story. Vic, not all unhappy Americans blame President Obama for the problems in Washington. What?
What?
A new Bloomberg poll, 45% say they blame Republicans on Capitol Hill. 39% say they believe the fault is with Obama or Democrats. Here's the, a lot of happy clappies like me. 73% of Democrats said they still have hope for Washington, while only 41% of Republicans said the same. So I think it's part of what David Bender was saying, though, is, you know, just seizing this narrative, you know, because we are right on the issues, you know? I mean, on issue after issue, right?
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, Obama's got to stand up and say these guys are wrong, and here's why.
Well, I think he has on the jobs bill, don't you? I mean, I think he's been really laying that out. I mean, it's a pretty, I think it's pretty easy to understand message when we're in the unemployment situation we're in, you know?
I think he's got to take Mitch McConnell to task for not wanting to rebuild bridges in his own district.
Yeah.
He's willing to let his constituents die rather than give Obama a win.
It seems like he's playing that rope-a-dope game of letting them do everything evil. And because
right.
Here's one side, one philosophy is stop them from doing something evil. And then let the debate continue, or let them be evil and hope that people can clearly identify which side is evil, and then whoever wins after that is the one that should win for a while. Now that people have identified one side as evil, but a lot of things get hurt to prove that they're evil.
Yeah.
And rope-a-dope, eventually you have to hit back.
Yeah,
they
eventually.
Do that so long.
Yeah, when they get tired.
Speaking of polling, we were talking about... Clint Eastwood, 53%. We are in terms of marriage equality. 53% of America. This is a big change. 53% are for marriage equality. 44% opposed. Support for the legal recognition of same-sex marriage has shifted in recent years from the narrow majority opposed to now a narrow majority support it. But, you know, again, we're still in a place where apparently that was one of the issues that helped the Republican win in New York. You know, because the.
Yeah.
You know, this guy voted for marriage equality, so it's still a huge issue.
Thank you, Mayor Koch.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
but Clint Eastwood,
you a Broadway performer.
Yeah.
Turning on your peeps, man.
But you were saying Clint Eastwood just came out in favor of marriage equality.
That's right, and it really can make you. You can look back on his work and see he's been hinting at it the whole time.
Really.
Yeah, you know, Space Cowboys. do you feel lucky? You know,
yes.
Stuff like that.
Do you want to get lucky?
Do you want to get lucky?
Yes.
He's been dropping hints the whole time.
Did I just have a three-way, or was it? You know, I had so many poppers, I can't recall.
I don't think he said that.
No.
Mark
no.
And Ill.
the undecided. Oh, Unforgiven. Okay,
yeah. Yeah. That's in questioning, you mean? That kind of undecided.
Every Buddy, which way but straight.
What? Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hey,
it's gotten so crazy. I've got the topper for the next Republican debate. And if you elect me president of the United States, I promise within 90 days, every man, woman, and child uninsured in comas, I'll have them executed.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I guarantee
Mama,
I'll kill a guy.
Yeah, we won't have euthanasia just for pets anymore under President Perry.
Hey, Mama, it's gotten so weird. My dad used to work for your dad, the Republican National Committee.
Yes.
He's 83 years old. I'm proud of him. He's a distinguished political presidential scholar. He said Obama's speech was the best he'd heard in his lifetime.
Yep. I'm still happy clappy. I remain unbowed. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning.
Stephanie Miller.
Nice breast, by the way.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio with
Good
us.
Good morning.
Hello.
Live.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Chris, I don't know what the Fox, I don't know if this is what's been on the Fox, but, you know, we have a new scandal. Have you guys heard the Solyndra thing? It's the new, apparently someone, a right-winger, said it's Obama's Watergate.
Yeah.
Might be a little bit...
Watergate or Waterloo?
Overstated. Yeah, exactly. They're always wishing something
on. Water something.
So it's this solar company. Jim, this is the best they've got, apparently, for big scandals. They got a $535 million loan as part of the stimulus in 2009, but they've just gone bankrupt, filed Chapter 11. Republicans have speculated Solyndra got the half-billion-dollar loan because its biggest investor is George Kaiser, who is an Obama fundraiser.
Yeah.
However, their second largest investor is the Walton family of Walmart, which who are obviously major Republican donors.
Nice, John
the other,
boy.
Yeah, the other big problem, the chief executive is a Republican. The chief executive of Solyndra is Brian Harrison, is also a Republican. And here's another rub.
Republican rat.
Here's another rub. Solyndra applied for the Energy Department loan as part of a program created by the Bush administration. Memos prepared by the Republican and Democratic staffs of the House Energy Committee say they first applied for an Energy Department loan in 2006. In March 2009, after the analysis was submitted, Energy Department officials reviewed the application again and gave conditional approval. The March 2009 timetable was set under the Bush administration. So, I don't...
Maybe it's self-destructed to make Obama look bad?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. Whoever testified, somebody testified yesterday, said the committee does not believe Solyndra misled the government in order to receive the loans. So I don't, but that's going to be bad. They're still going to try to make that.
I think we can just blanket assume that anything that they say the other guy's done, they've arranged in a fake manner to do. I just give it a blanket assumption now. And they say everyone should be judged on each and say, it would have been if you hadn't lied every single step of the way about everything the entire time. I think now forensically we can say it's you.
There you go, forensically. No one ever uses that word. Mark in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Steph, you crazy liberal. How are you doing there?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I tried staying up all night to think of one good thing to say about Michelle Bachmann, and honestly, I did come up with one thing.
What's that?
She is highly educated. She did have 3 years of eighth grade, so we should give her credit. She's got her eighth grade diploma, so let's go easy on it. But the main thing I want to say is about corporate America. I think that President Obama should jump all over corporate America and how they have shipped all their jobs over to China and everything else just for cheap labor so they can get rich. You know, and God forbid if they couldn't have their planes and their yachts and everything else. You know, how would they get by? So I really think that he should really push on the corporate America thing, that they've made a lot of puppets out of the Republican politicians. People will vote for the Republican politicians thinking, oh, he's going to really do something. All he is a puppet of corporate America. You know, drug companies, oil companies, insurance companies, the big three.
Yep.
And I really think he should really hit that. And I think NAFTA has got to come to an end. Free trade, it's not free for us. It's free for China.
Yep. No, good point. The president talking about unemployment.
The next election's 14 months away. And the American people don't have the luxury to wait that long.
By the way, how come, who is it, Chris, wait, grab a mic for a second. Bob Beckel made a good point about the, speaking of the Solyndra thing, them trying to make this a big scandal.
Oh, yeah, Bob Beckel, who is the liberal co-host of The Five on Fox News, refused to participate in a discussion about Solyndra yesterday because he pointed out that that Fox News completely ignored all of the no-bid contracts that
Halliburton
was given during the Bush administration.
Yeah. We never heard any of
there
that.
Yeah, so Bob Beckel refused to participate in any conversation yesterday, which, good on him. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's the forensics I'm talking about.
See, there you go. Again with that. All right.
It's a CSI murder scene.
Yes.
And here's
exactly.
Where, you know, everyone else goes stomping through the evidence, but there it is on your bottom of your shoe.
Exactly. Stomping through the crime scene. Vice President Joe Biden yesterday talking about fraud in government.
So as long as there is waste and fraud in government and serious waste and fraud, people lose confidence in the ability of their government to do their job.
Yeah, it is true. We didn't hear one thing, did we, at least on Fox News, but in the mainstream media about Halliburton. About, you know, and this is one company that a solar company that got a contract, and now it's all over the media. That this is what kills me about the whole meme about the liberal media. You know what I mean? There is no liberal media.
There's no liberal media. Why would that be the one thing they tell the truth about?
Shay and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Shay.
Well, there is liberal media. It's you.
Yeah, that's me. That is sad for all of us.
You and a few other people. So anyway, I love David Bender. He's really one of my favorite talkers, but he is so wrong about we need to, demand that Obama does better. I think that Obama's main problem is that his so-called supporters abandoned him a long time ago. You, Stephanie, are the only talker that I listen to who continues to support the guy.
Randy Rhodes. Me and Randy Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And,
no, but you know what's interesting, Shay, is if you look at polling, though, you know, again, there's a media meme that really is not true. I mean, his approval rating among Democrats is in somewhere the high 80s or something.
That's good to know, but Democrats need to share that. We need to put right. our stickers back on our cars. We need to go to work and tell people about his jobs plan. We need to do our job and support him, or we're not going to win this next election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, that's what I was saying, is we absolutely have to be the ones we were waiting for, as someone once said, you know, and mobilize.
We let the right wing define a lot of things for us, and suddenly we think that's the phrase for everything.
Well, because, yeah, and part of it is psyops.
Their dominated media feeds us a lot of our phrases that we walk around then calling ourselves.
Right, right. And it's meant to demoralize us and to go, oh, you know, there's no point in voting. And, yeah.
But David's right. You've got to drop the angry black man meme. He doesn't have to get angry to be forceful. You know, it's...
He doesn't have to actually kick the podium over, right. as Hal Sparks said yesterday. Yeah. Joe in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, good.
Good.
Watching the debate and hearing the thing about letting the 30-year-old die because he doesn't have insurance, and Rick Perry's comments about the people dying on death row. My uncle always said, a conservative is someone who will kill everything but an unborn child.
Yeah. Well, and I was saying yesterday, Joe, remember how all the outrage when Alan Grayson said the Republican plan is, you know, hurry up and, you know, I don't get sick, or if you do, hurry up and die? And it was like, oh, how dare he say such a thing?
It's true, but how dare he say it?
Yeah.
They'll go to war and they'll kill people, they'll execute people, you know, let people die without health insurance. They want the baby to be born, but there's no CHIP program support.
Sure. Life ends after you're out of the womb.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As my friend Randy Rhodes says, love the fetus, hate the child. Bought it one after. Yeah, speaking of which, this is what I mean about the... headline is, with no paid sick leave, Philadelphia woman fired for taking time off to save her son's life. We've been talking about watching these Republican debates. Are we just getting to be a meaner society, or people only do the right thing when they're forced to?
Yeah, and the media is training us, because most parents, they're not even around anymore. So everyone's learning from the media, and most of the media is like this abusive step-parent, drunken, mean step-parent, and they're acting like it now.
Well, in June, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter vetoed a bill that would have guaranteed paid sick days to employees of many small businesses within Philadelphia. Now, a Philadelphia woman lost her job for taking time off to give her son a kidney so he could live.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
She got fired.
She'd already taken it. And, add to that, Jimmy, she already used up her vacation days after the death of both her mother and uncle. So when she...
Well,
so
that was careless of her.
So
mother and uncle.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Then she took time off to give her son a kidney.
Takes some responsibility.
And she came back, man. And...
You're fired.
So, and then the kicker is, following media uproar, following media uproar, she'll be getting paid until another position opens up within the company, and we'll get a chance to reapply for a job then.
I would boycott that company.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that place fold.
Yeah.
Fire that boss. He makes decisions like that. Get rid of him. At all costs, lose this guy.
Yeah. Eric in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Eric.
Hey, I'm a conservative, but I listen to you. I think you're real funny.
Thank you.
All right, so I just want to make a point, because you were talking earlier about, like, you know, like discrimination and like same sex and stuff like that. You all need to wake up and see that this discrimination thing, it ain't as big as you think. Look, you got the courts full of people of color. You got a black man in the White House. For Christ's sake, you got a black man in Sarah Palin. What else do you got?
Oh,
set it up. Had us going.
Wow. That was a right winger. Zoinks. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Walked us right in.
That'll be the promo.
All right. And edit point. Okay. Dennis in the...
Snow machine.
Dennis in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. I got a couple quick things I want to tell you, so I hope you don't hang up on me. First of all, with the Solyndra loan that you were talking about with the Bush administration, they put that on hold because their credit was skeptical to highly skeptical. And then
they didn't put it on hold. It was
they did. 2 weeks before the Obama administration took over, they put it on hold. Then Obama put it on the fast track. That's a fact.
Okay, but Dennis, do you really think this is Watergate? Seriously? Did you ever have any problem with all the no-bid contracts that Halliburton got under Bush? Did you call shows about that?
I mean, $500 million to just to make, you know, to push a green agenda, that's pretty much. But what I wanted, the main reason why I called in was...
it's the green agenda that's the problem.
I see. That started under the Bush administration. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, the main reason why I called in was you talking about the debate the other night when the people were screaming when Wolf Blitzer asked, should we just let them... Understand, that is Ron Paul nut jobs. That's not the Republican Party. That is libertarians. Ron Paul should not even be up on the stage in those debates. He is a libertarian. He should be debating Jesse Ventura or Ralph Nader somewhere.
So what about when they mentioned that Rick Perry had executed 234 people and people started cheering?
Well, I mean, that's capital punishment. That's completely different. I agree with capital punishment.
Right, but obviously there's been a major story about one of the people was innocent. Were innocent, so.
We're
just asking, and those weren't all Ron Paul fans that just reflexively cheered.
I guarantee you, they yell out at every debate, and that's to me.
They're all just Ron Paul fans.
He could yell out, everybody go jump off a cliff, and his fans would cheer about that. And what's the difference between,
dopes? They'll cheer anything?
I was listening to, there's extremes on every side. I was listening to Cornel West this morning giving a speech about how America's in a pluralistic nation, and there's his fans, yeah. I mean, there's nut jobs on both sides.
But have you ever, I've never seen at a Democratic debate, death cheered like that. Just saying. Okay. There seems to be a theme developing.
Yeah, we cheer. We just cheer for other things.
Yes. 46.
And he sits there and watches Cornel West speeches as morning entertainment? Really? Really?
I like Cornel West very smart, not much of a morning zoo. No. 46 minutes.
Well, trying to diagram his sentences is entertaining.
The good news is now the Republicans are going after the libertarians.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's like
eat up everybody.
Former allies are starting to turn. It's like Germany and Russia going at it now.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. We continue more live. Rick Overton in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. This is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Pictures?
Yes, they're up at StephanieMiller.com and SexyLiberal.com.
Yeah.
My vacation pictures. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Tour de Nice.
Oh, boy. All right, everyone, get it out of your system. All right, bitch-face Eric Cantor yesterday.
I do think that what we're headed for over the next 14 months is a season in which there will be a robust debate culminating in November 2012 about the very question of who we want to be as a country.
And I think we just want to be bitchy little, nasty little pieces of work like me. Tell those Democrats to get their sticky hands off my Chase lounge.
He puts the cant in canter.
It's no, we can't. Exactly. That's the Republican Party. I love me some Andy Borowitz. Speaking of our Republican country, he has a letter from Rick Perry. Dear American, for the last few weeks, I've been under constant attack. My opponents would have you believe if I'm elected, you'll be stripped of your Social Security benefits and be scrounging food in dumpsters with all the desperation of a feral cat. Of course, that's true. But what they don't tell you is what I'd replace Social Security with, an amazing new program I like to call PerryCare, trademark. Under PerryCare... you'll receive all the food, clothing, and shelter you need. It won't cost you a dime in taxes. How is that possible? Simple. You'll be praying for all of those things. As a PerryCare recipient, each week you'll receive in your mailbox a PerryCare prayer mail, giving you an easy-to-recite prayer for that bread, milk, cat food, or whatever else you need to survive. It's like a Groupon from God. I get down on my knees every night, and I promise you, if I'm elected president, I'll bring the entire country to its knees. Your next president, Governor Rick Perry. This hour brought to you by...
It's bound to happen. You're getting a little older and a little thinner on top. That's when you use what's in the green bottle. It's Perry Hair. For a thick, lush, mindless head of hair, Perry Hair takes the follicles that are condemned to death and gives them a right to life. Just a few sprinkles of Perry Hair in the morning, and before you know it, your hair will be getting thicker and your poles will be riding higher. Those other hair restoration methods are only a Ponzi scheme. Try Perry Hair from the makers of Just for Mint.
By the way, Craig says, Rick Overton's laugh kills me. It has been mentioned before, your man giggle. You are secure enough to have a man giggle.
A man giggle.
Let's go to Melissa in Chicago. You're on with Rick Overton. Hey, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
Good morning, Melissa.
I just wanted to say that, $528 million is a lot to lose, but nobody besides Rachel Maddow has been talking about the $60 billion that Blackwater and Halliburton lost in Iraq and Afghanistan, and nobody else is even mentioning that just the people who they killed, the soldiers that they killed through their general incompetence of not being able to hardwire a bathroom.
Electrocuting someone in the shower, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Not just once.
Yes. Yeah.
It's only 13 times.
It's like it's intentional.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, could be, considering. Mm-hmm. Who's in charge?
Yeah. All right. So Mitt Romney would take that, Rick Perry.
There's a good shot I could be in the White House someday. Not a sure deal, but a good shot.
Okay.
Woof. Listen to his words. A good shot. What are you talking about?
Michael in Seattle on Rick Perry. Hey, Michael.
Hey there, Steph. How are you?
Hey, good.
He told me I would do it, and sure enough, I did. I just was going back to the comments you were making last hour about Sean Hannity using journalism.
Yes.
And
shocking.
I wanted to say that I think Sean Hannity uses journalism the way that Sarah Palin uses science to kill wolves. It's a tool.
Well, somebody was saying, Michael, someone just wrote me and said, you know, he's thinning the herd. He and Limbaugh. I mean, they know Bachman has no chance. And
exactly.
It's, you know,
They have these puppeteers. They want Perry, and they want to cut Bachman out of the picture. And if he has to use an old, yucky, rusty saw he found on the bottom of the workbench to do it, then he will.
They have their little man meetings where they're like, oh, sure, she's chubby material, but we're still going to.
Yeah.
I'd do her. I just wouldn't vote for her.
Yeah, exactly. Palin, Bachman, all right, let's, you know, yes, there are.
It took them long enough for it to dawn on them that this will kill their party to have them running, you know. That's why I say Palin, Bachman, 2012.
Woo,
Palin, Bachman, 2012.
Okay. Let's go to Fernando in San Antonio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. As the official RN of the Stephanie Miller Show, I just have to let you know that you started mentioning Perry Care.
Yes.
I was drinking a cup of coffee, and I just snorted coffee out of my nose.
Aw, we apologize.
Let me explain why. I think you'll get a kick out of this. In nursing vernacular, Perry Care is short for perineal care.
Uh-huh.
Which is what we do when we're cleaning incontinent patients up.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
so it was better than we thought.
Yes. Wow.
All right.
Very appropriate. Very appropriate.
All right. You know, we should play the Stephanie Miller Show disclaimer again. A lot of snorting has been reported. It's a...
Warning. Listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg, Flavin, undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
Yeah, okay. All right. Senator Rand Paul,
we've got a bill that will help solidify 1,000 jobs in South Carolina. Pass it now. If you want to be in favor of jobs, pass this bill now.
Is he talking about the president's bill? Really? What's he talking about?
I think he's talking about a Boeing bill.
Oh, a different bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a record number of Americans falling into poverty, Rand Paul says the poor are getting rich. That's the real problem in America, Jim.
Yeah, that says welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Mm-hmm. He unequivocally declared poverty is not a state of permanence and the rich are getting richer, but the poor are getting richer even faster.
What?
That's the real problem.
What's the difference between Rand Paul
and midgets are getting taller?
What's the difference between Rand Paul and a ventriloquist dummy head?
What?
The eyebrows move up and down on the dummy head.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with more. Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Deity Jim Warren, or me, Stephanie Miller. Rick Overton, yay! Comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with
us. Hello, everybody.
Ooh, Mike in Indiana, who's the smartest boy in class this morning. Steph, why is Michelle Bachmann upset about the executive order to vaccinate little girls? She's in favor of big government intrusion into a woman's reproductive health under other circumstances. Maybe she's just jealous she didn't think of it first. Ha-ha! Jack Hughes! Thank you, Mike. All right, SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, coming up next Saturday, next up on the big
North schedule. Carolina, get ready for your second dose of Sexy Liberal. Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium, the Sexy Liberal Show comes to Asheville.
Oh, this I gotta see.
Down in Asheville.
Join Stephanie Miller.
She got Snoop Mulligan.
John Fugelsang.
You're funny, all right, you're a scream.
And Hal Sparks.
He's one of them joke crackers.
Saturday, September 24th, get your sexy on in Asheville.
You don't want to concern yourself with government business.
Come and laugh with Steph, John, and Hal and meet other sexy liberals.
I hope you're out of jail in time to vote.
Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com for the Sexy Liberal Show starring Stephanie Miller.
Boy, you're funny, you are. You ought to go on the radio and be an all-night disc jockey.
From Klingman's Dome to the Blue Ridge Parkway, don't miss your last chance to get your sexy on this year, North Carolina, with the Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium in Asheville.
Doggies. Speaking of sexy liberals live in person, Rick Overton in San Francisco this weekend.
Yes, Vallejo on Saturday at night at 8 o'clock at the Federally Theater, and during the day in Golden Gate Park for Comedy Day on Sunday.
Awesome.
Cool.
In the daytime, outside, is that legal?
That's right, and you're going to have to compete with other things people can look at, like it's either you or a kid with a sparkler.
Cheyenne in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I think that President Obama, his problem is being the angry black man theory. He doesn't have to be angry. All he has to do is say, talk directly to Mitch McConnell, Eric Cantor, John Boehner, directly in the speeches. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I'm not directing the speech at the country. I'm directing a speech at the obstructionist Republicans, specifically Eric Cantor, John Boehner, et cetera, instead of, you know, sometimes talking in broad, ambiguous terms. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, everybody know who he's talking about, but mm-hmm. much like Joe Wilson did. Oh, you're a liar. Okay. These guys are lying. Eric Cantor, John Boehner, and this is specifically what they're
yep.
lying about.
Yeah, right. That's our fantasy, is that he just goes, talking to you, bitch face.
Yeah, just got to call him out. He doesn't have to get angry. Just say exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
but they always have a disproportionate thing. It's like, you know, they can be kicking a puppy, and then you say, hey, stop kicking that puppy. You're mean for making me stop kicking the puppy.
Or you were saying, or they go, well, you did that other thing that other one time.
Yeah, rather than admit that both things are bad, they go, well, you did a bad thing, so I get to also continue doing a bad thing.
Yeah, but you knew Lou Ayres in Wings back in 1927. Oh, no,
yeah.
That's a different guy.
No, that's different.
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right. Michelle Bachmann dines with Cindy McCain. She's trying to go from having crazy eyes to no eyelids at all. Apparently, she wants some advice on how to, because she needs to keep an eye on all the other people coming after her. Rick Perry. We don't mean to be rude. We just have commented that she does not appear to have eyelids. Cindy McCain. She's a, yeah, you know, and I'm just saying, if your husband had an anger management problem, you might do have, it's a genetic mutation. She just has to keep an eye on him at all times.
I am going to win the staring contest.
No, yeah. That's Calista. It's Calista Gingrich.
Cindy McCain, too, though. I don't know what the deal is. Wow, Romney, Perry, Bachmann campaign website, they don't mention Iraq or Afghanistan at all.
Huh.
On their websites. That's the thing. How do you have any kind of conversation about our economy or where we're at or how we got here without talking about the trillions of dollars we've spent?
Don't look at it. Don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It ain't there if you don't talk about it.
Mm. Okay.
But I killed a guy. Huh? Get me.
Yeah, really.
Oh, boy. Governor Perry. Yeah, he's a... all right. He's, you know, by the way, he's a way, he's still way ahead in the polls, I guess, after even the debate, right?
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, he's pretty.
I think Josh Brolin is his campaign manager. Cause he's
yeah, I know. I know. No, they really are just with us now. He looks exactly like Josh Brolin playing George W. Bush.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He does. Wow.
Yeah, you know who I hope, I just hope and pray wins, is Elizabeth Warren is running.
Yes.
Yeah, against Scott Brown, the governor in Massachusetts. She became her candidacy by carrying a populist message that Washington has left middle-class families behind for a generation. She said middle-class families have been chipped at, hacked at, squeezed, and hammered for a generation now, and I don't think Washington gets it. Washington is rigged for big corporations that hire armies of lobbyists. It isn't right, and it's the reason I'm running for the United States Senate. She says, I grew up on the ragged edge of the middle class, and I know it's hard out there. But he is a truck. So, you see, that's how elections are won these days. He's more a man of the people because he has a truck. But he,
and pink leather shorts.
Yes, like most men.
With the rubber testicles hanging off the back. Truck nuts.
Sam in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. I got a quick question. What's wrong with the president getting pissed off from time to time? I don't know. Just this smacking John Boehner down and telling him to shut up and sit down. Tipping Mitch McConnell on his back, watching him squirm to try to get back up. What's wrong with that?
That's a turtle joke. I don't know.
Someone
I mean,
pushed me on my back. I can't get up.
He pushed my head into my body cavity.
All right. So Bob Turner.
Get me some lettuce.
He's the Republican that just won in the New York. What do you call it? Congressional race in
this
nine.
Is a staunch Democratic district, and they've elected a Republican to send that message that they are not happy with these policies.
You know, did you see when we won the Kathy Hochul race in upstate New York? That's been in Republican hands for, I don't know, a zillion years. And it doesn't seem to me like there's the same kind of big media storyline. I mean, first of all, there's
that
special elections.
Left-wing media is not covering
This is the guy that gave Rush Limbaugh that TV show. Why don't you sit in front of a bookcase and talk, and I bet that'll be your ratings come day.
We've been told this is a referendum. And we're ready to say, Mr. President, we are on the wrong track.
I don't, in all special elections, I often wonder if on both sides they make too big of a, oh, this is what this means. This is a complete referendum on blank.
Something. Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi.
Mine was a local election between two people who were known to the district. Again, we would like to have won it.
Yeah, that was the other thing I think David Bender was talking about earlier. You know, it was a specific strain of them running that same kind of dividing thing, you know, in terms of you're not strong enough in Israel, you voted for marriage equality. You know, it was another strain of, I think, gay bashing and sort of a specifically ethnic issue in that area. Rick Perry on the New York race.
Last night's election results from New York and Nevada sent signals that President Obama will be a one-term president.
All right. Could be overstating it just a skosh.
And that global warming is a hoax. And that Jesus will return on Tuesday. And...
Yes, that's what... God picks special elections to send us really big messages.
Yeah. He's playing to people he hates.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't like these people.
This is...
He wouldn't invite them over for a beer.
Here's the one thing, and Jim Ward's been talking about this for a long time, stolen elections, etc., dirty tricks. That's one of the things I think we do have to be on the alert for, is in state after state, they're trying to find ways to just disenfranchise more people that will tend to vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's
that's
a new
in
one.
Addition to the voting machines.
Yes. Here's a new one in Pennsylvania. Republican Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett proposes rigging the Electoral College for Republicans. How about that?
You're supposed to do that in secret.
I don't think that was supposed to be in a headline.
That's subtext.
That's catapulting propaganda. That's what that is.
President won Pennsylvania by 10 percentage points in 2008. Democrats have won the state in every single presidential election for the last two decades. So they're like, you know, we need to put a stop to that.
Yeah.
He has a simple plan: give away nearly half the state's electoral vote to the Republican presidential candidate for free.
What?
Like a mattress. Here.
Seems like mattress is free.
He proposes the state divide up its electoral college votes according to which candidates carried each congressional district plus two votes for the statewide winner. Had this system been in place in 2008, Obama would have taken only 11 out of the state's 21 electoral votes at the time. So it's just.
And if my aunt had a.
Yes.
She'd be my uncle.
Exactly my point. Electoral. But that's what I'm saying. It's like if you can win on the issues, and win on the issues. It seems like they keep trying to find these ways to just, you know, get an advantage that's not fair, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, when does it finally dawn on people, these guys cheat?
Hmm. Yeah.
They just cheat. Only way they win is
we
to cheat.
We can make sure that black people don't vote.
Yeah, they can't
win
legitimately.
No, wait, that was the inside voice. Don't say that part out loud. I think it sounds like something else really important, like voter ID.
Yeah.
So the people, I think the main thing, the people don't try to pretend to be Chris LaVoie.
But hey!
And read upside down.
Hey!
That's the main threat to the American electoral system. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue. Rick Overton live in studio. Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Can't get enough of those 80s synthesizers.
Thanks, Jim. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Comedian Rick Overton live in the studio.
Hello.
Playing air keyboard, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David Fender writes in, one more time, in every successful narrative, when there is a hero, there has to be a villain. The president has never called out McConnell, Boehner, and Cantor by name. Rick is right, Jim is right. Let me just ask a question. Don't you think it makes the president seem petty and small to be, and a lot of people say he's just name calling. I think he's been specific about who is impeding things. Is it necessary?
If he doesn't do it, then he should have his surrogates be doing that all the time. That's what George W. Bush did to make enemies for him.
I think they've mentioned people
not effectively.
Well, I don't know why. How come everyone's complaining so much if he's doing it great? I just think you could hit harder. He's choosing which group to make happy. He has a huge board.
But what happened to a week ago? Everybody said the president's speech was great and feisty, and that's the all. And now it's not enough a week later.
He's got to do more of that.
He's got like that.
He can't.
All right.
The good thing has to happen more often because the other side, they're hitting every day. You have to wait every few days for a speech while the other guys are hitting every single day.
In the meantime,
no red state, blue state thing only goes so far.
Billy in Texas would like us to stop mocking Republicans in the meantime. Hello, Billy.
Well, no, I don't know if I want you to stop doing that or not, Stephanie. You know I love you guys.
I
love listening to you. I enjoy the lively banter. You know, I listen to y'all because I already know what Rush and Hannity are going to say because I agree with them 99% of the time.
Right. You never know what I'm going to pull out of my ass, do you?
No, ma'am, and I really don't want to go there.
Yes.
But be that as it may, I'm hearing a lot more mocking and a lot more outlandish stuff coming from the left right now. And if this speaks, for me at least, of desperation for the liberals, that they're really gonna,
no, it's just that Republican candidates are ridiculous.
Say that again?
It's just that a lot of the Republican candidates are ridiculous. Michelle Bachmann just is...
Come on, now,
when you've got Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh mocking Michelle Bachmann...
You will join us and agree that Bachmann's kind of crazy, right? You'll agree with us there, right?
On what?
That Bachmann's crazy.
Absolutely not.
Really?
And you guys can say that till the cows come home, and it's not going to.
Well, then you're disagreeing with other Republicans.
Well, if you listen to Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, you know that they were mocking Michelle Bachmann yesterday.
Republicans say that Bachmann is crazy. Bachmann is passionate woman.
Yes. Well,
conservative.
A vaccine does not cause mental retardation. So that's kind of irresponsible to say stuff like that, isn't it?
Either she's misinformed or mistaken, but that doesn't make her crazy.
Well, it's like Chris Matthews said yesterday. He goes, well, a lot of crazy people tell me stuff. I don't just blurt it out again. Yeah. Some guy said to me once, whatever, you know.
So there's right-wing people saying she's crazy. So we got to choose a side.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. All right. Yeah.
How dare you mock people when they say stupid things?
When they say mockable things.
You know what? Just because you can dial a phone doesn't mean you're not crazy.
Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mayor.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, I'm not happy clappy today. I'm really down. And I think what I really want to say is I don't hear anybody on the Democratic side, especially in Congress, really sticking up for the president right now. They're running away from him like they did Carter. And I'm a baby boomer, so I'm used to going out and protesting, and I call Congress people every day and write letters, and I just want to tell everybody that's listening that, come on, get off your butts and let's start calling our Democratic representatives and saying, you know, come on, stand up for the president. He can't do it on his own. And he did say, if you look back on all the speeches he gave when he was running for president, he said hundreds of times, it's not going to be easy. I need your help. And we're just abandoning him.
Yeah, no, he did. He ran. He definitely, that was his whole, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for. He never used a lot of I, did he, during the campaign?
No. No, and I'm just really disgusted with our country right now in so many ways. I mean, obviously, listening to the Republican debate and all the cheering, for, you know. But I mean, come on, it's not going to happen if we don't do it. And I'm calling
Mary,
every single congressman today.
You're absolutely right, and you keep fighting the good fight because I'm telling you, this is we are the good guys. We're still the good guys. Pat Robertson, this has been drawing attention. I don't know why. It's not like this is the first time he said something. Something crazy, but it seems like it fits with this theme of how mean the right wing is becoming.
Pat, this is Andreas who says, I have a friend whose wife suffers from Alzheimer's.
If he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But, you know, to make sure she has custodial care and somebody looking after her.
Oh, that's nice.
The vow that we take when we marry someone, that it's for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer.
I know, if you respect that vow, but you say, look, death do us part, this is the kind of death. I certainly wouldn't put a guilt trip on you.
Wow, the Gingrich loophole, everybody. Wow. Till you know, in sickness, unless it's the kind that's kind of icky and makes
me
uncomfortable.
Inconvenient.
Yes. Wow, I mean, was that, of all the things Pat Robertson said, that's fairly stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, wow.
Well, I think you should go out and start buying some cheerleaders.
You got a couple of drinks into Robertson, he loosens right up. Yeah. You know? You get a couple of tokes, he's get high with Robertson. Well, there's a whole different guy there in the bus with you.
Mike in L.A. to respond to Billy in Texas. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, if we're going to ask whether Michelle Bachmann's crazy, consider this like an admissions nurse at a psychiatric hospital. There's this woman at this massively covered political event, photographers, reporters, bloggers, staffers all over the place, and this woman comes up to her with this dynamite story about how this vaccine that was forced on these thousands of little girls in Texas has made her daughter retarded, and yet nobody else saw or heard this woman.
Oh, right. Oh, the woman that said that, as to whether she has... That's not even the point, though. You just... people say all kinds of crazy stuff. It's like, for a presidential candidate, just to repeat it as if that's fact is what's irresponsible. 29.
She thought John Wayne's birthday was John Wayne Gacy's birthday.
Yes,
29. She's bad with the research.
29 minutes after... Not her strong suit. 29 minutes after
Happy
the hour.
Happy birthday, Elvis.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The lab results are back. You've tested positive for nymphomania.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Roberta in Minnesota. You're on with Rick Overton. Hi, Roberta.
Hello.
Hi
Roberta.
Hi. I'd like to respond to the gentleman who called and said that Michelle's not crazy.
Yes.
Ms. Bachmann. This is a woman that wanted to see what was going on at a gay pride rally, so she hid in the bushes.
Yeah, not a good place to hide at a lesbian event, just a little FYI.
Or she could just sit around the living room with Marcus and
That would.
And then the two women tried to ask her a question in a public bathroom, and she came running out screaming that she was being attacked.
Yes, yes. The drive-by carpet munching.
That picture on Time Magazine.
911.
Very definitely. She's crazy.
Yeah.
I saw a Vanity license plate in an article, and the Minnesota Vanity license plate was Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes and one batshit crazy.
Oh, wow. Yep. Well, hello now. She dropped an S-bomb on me. Okay. All right. Jim, if we can even think of some of the things people have told us at events, we just repeated them on the radio. Hey, some guy told me this thing about a... I don't know. It's at least it took,
chutzpah.
It's, yes. If it wasn't wrong, it took a lot of
chutzpah.
She does have chutzpah.
Mike in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hello. I was just going to say, I think Obama should stick to his guns and not let the right wing get him down. Sure, he's a nigger spending all our money.
Oh, wow. Dropped an N-bomb on me about the president.
Anyone can dial a phone. It doesn't take a thumb. You don't have to have evolved up to a thumb to dial.
Wow. What is going on? Is there a full moon? Something, I'm told. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, you obviously hit a button because they're attacking harder.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means you're doing something right. When the bad, you're a bad guy.
I bet
you
this story.
Of course you don't know you're bad, but you're bad.
This story is going to get Pat Robertson's attention off dumping your Alzheimer's-ridden spouse. There's going to be a gay wedding in Archie, in the fictional comic. Archie. Yeah. Prepare for the outrage. This is from Mediaite.com. Prepare for the outrage. Archie Comics feature gay wedding. Another comic book has dared to depict a world that actually reflects the one we live in. Kevin Keller, he's the young gay man who's incidentally a cartoon and not real, is getting married in the Archie comic. Mediaite writing, so clearly all of our nation's children are going to run out and get gay married now, right? After all, the childhood obesity epidemic only started when Jughead ate his first hamburger.
I just hope the bubble gum will turn to ashes in their mouths.
Jim, you were speculating on what Pat Robertson might talk about next, about pushing people in their motorized wheelchairs into pools.
He should have instead of divorcing that woman, he should just push her in her motorized wheelchair into the swimming pool. Glug, glug. It's God's will.
I'd like to introduce you. God, this is Drowning Lady. Drowning Lady, God.
Oh, boy. Okay. With this comic book coming out, Mediaite writes, and Chaz Bono Dancing with the Stars, it's only a matter of time before every child out there is a gay married transsexual, because as all science will tell you, children merely have to set eyes on LGBT people and they instantly turn into one themselves. It's like the alternative lifestyle version of Medusa and Stone. I love it when the right goes off on fictional characters that have no actual sexual organs of any kind, because they are... both cartoons and fictional.
Well, most of their characters that they follow are.
Yes, exactly. All right, speaking of entertainment, kids, y'all get to the penis art exhibit in Iowa City. Boy. What? What's wrong? A collection of decorated plaster castings of a late pornography star's penis on display at the University of Iowa, drawing warnings to art lovers. The U of I spokesman said this is a matter of artistic expression, and the proper controls are in place to alert visitors of what they may encounter, which are giant plaster penises.
John Holmes.
Oh, it is John
Holmes. Yeah. Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Johnny Wad.
Yes.
I'm a fan of the penis art.
Plaster is cold.
Well, I want to go to Iceland. You know, Jim, it's the it's the whale penis museum.
Mm.
No, it's just the penis museum.
No, I think it's a whale penis museum.
Well,
isn't
that's
it?
One.
That's one of the displays.
Well,
the
you know what
one.
The word for that is?
What's that?
Dork. That's where they get the word dork from.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's
Thank
Icelandic.
You, Rick Overton. Thank you.
For
I didn't know
Bjork.
That fun fact.
Bjork and Bjork meet Dork.
So, Bjork is the verb.
The Bjork. You Bjork with
to
your
get
dork.
Bjork.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, boys.
Go to Iceland. Get Bjorked.
All right. Wow. Here's a real estate deal in L.A. Jim, I know you'll say you have this on you. Mark Wahlberg has relisted his Beverly Hills mansion for only $13.95 million now.
What? I'll see you guys later.
That's
come on, suckers!
$2 million less than it was listed for.
Whoa.
Wow.
Here's what it comes
it's
with.
It's killing him! You people are killing him!
The two-story property comes complete with a gym, complete with a full-size boxing ring, a basketball court, a golf putting green, a waterfall, and a grotto, five-bedroom suites, and a home cinema, which has a 35-millimeter digital.
A grotto? In that case.
It doesn't come with a grotto. There's also a two-story, two-bedroom guest house located on the 1.7.
Yeah, he's moving into the Oakwood apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah, life is rough, right? Hey, man, what are you doing here? That long story.
Listen, last movie didn't do as well as you'd think. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Here's a funny inside joke for L.A., but so hilarious it was worth it. The people in L.A. are laughing right now. Okay.
Apartments.
I almost moved into the Oakwood apartments after my divorce. Yeah.
Oh dear. That's when you know things have taken a turn in your life. I think I stayed there when I was taping my last canceled television show. So there's something. There's a wrong turn somewhere in your life when you end up. All right.
Well, now you're living in a place like his.
Oh yeah, I don't think I have a grotto, do I? What is a grotto, Jim?
Well,
it's a rock cave.
Yeah, it's a cave, ball rock full cave, of
no.
water.
I'll have to get on that. I don't have a grotto.
Yeah, I'll get the shovel.
Dorothy.
Hager.
Dorothy in Michigan on Pat Robertson. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I am so sick of these Christian ministers calling themselves Christian. I just told your operator that I'm going to start calling God the Creator because they have abused God's name so badly that I am tired of hearing them so-called Christian people that don't want to help anybody.
Didn't
now,
Matthew...
Pat Robertson has enough money, and I'm pretty sure that people that donate to him, he can afford to help somebody with the health care.
Yep.
Didn't Matthew warn us about guys like that?
They'll
be the followers of the false Christ, right?
Yes.
And you'll know them by their deeds and their greed and the amount of money they want and stuff. Like that's the one of the warning signs. It's one of the fake ones. And you'll invite them in like the devil because they sound like you.
And Mark also, Mark
10, 11, and 12.
Yes, he said, and Jesus saith unto them, whoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery.
What? Pat Robertson, Robertson talks to God regularly, and he says there is an Alzheimer's loophole.
I think Jesus and his gang had some things to say about that.
My favorite part of that call is she called Rebecca my operator, which is so awesome. Violet Newstead, please hold. Violet Newstead, please hold. It's Ernestine sitting out there. I love that.
One ringy dingy.
Here's what I love about Rebecca. When I go to the bathroom and I hear her screening calls, just a little while ago, she said, oh, okay, sir, are you familiar with Stephanie? She won't be able to say that. Do you have a nickname? You need to change your name to be on my show if it's too complicated.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah.
It's like that other guy who called.
So, did you see Dick Cheney on The View? Whoopi Goldberg wondered where he had been during the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
Behar asked if the Iraq and Afghanistan wars would have gone differently if it wasn't an all-volunteer army. Cheney said, you have to deal with the world the way you find it. Oh, that's kind of like
the army that you
have,
not the one you wish you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. You just
don't change anything.
And I love Cheney brought his wife, Lynn, who sat between him and Behar. And Behar said, are you scared to be alone with us? You brought your wife. Cheney didn't reply, but probably whatever was in his thought bubble involved waterboarding. Joy Behar.
I've just called in an airstrike.
I'm like Murdoch. I use her for pie cover. When incoming pie, honey, step in.
Wheezy! Get up. There's a pie flying at my head.
Barbara Walters asked Cheney if the Iraq war was worth it, given the human and financial cost. Cheney said it was. Huh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, since he didn't actually pay any cost himself. Cheney said it was, and then stopped Walters cold when she tried to interrupt to introduce a commercial. He said, I listened to the question. I get to give the answer, Barbara. He's delightful. Isn't he delightful?
Yeah, he's not even hiding the dictatorship.
His evilness. I'm sorry, Jim?
I could have you killed.
All the mechanisms are in place.
Makes it like an accident.
All right.
You can call me a heartless bastard, and you'd be literally right.
Rick Overton, here's how good my producers are. Every time you come in, and even though you've been my friend for many years and been on the show a billion times, they send me every time your 17,000-page resume.
Oh, yeah, I got to trim that thing a little bit. Get the buzzer out. Trim it up a little bit.
You've been in every film ever. I don't know if you have this rule or not, but Madonna will not let film festival volunteers look at her.
Wow.
Do you have that in your writer? Volunteers were asked to turn their faces to a wall so they wouldn't look at her as she made her way to a press conference about the film. One volunteer said they all dutifully stood with their backs to her as she passed.
It's a new wow. Show on TV called Scar Search.
Okay. I don't.
Look at me. What are you looking at?
One more
facelift. She's going to have a goatee.
All right. Jim, Paul McCartney's wedding.
3, 2, 1, yeah. Bang! Yeah.
Sweet.
Paul McCartney is a hopeless romantic. He's doing it again.
Getting married again. Hitched.
Pardon me? Yes, he's getting married again. Nancy Chevelle, is that her name? They've already started arriving at with the stacks of chairs, champagne flutes. A couple flew in from the UK. He's just a hopeless romantic, despite the last one not ending well.
The unidex to slag.
Yes, as he calls her.
She's took only brand mash.
It's just the money.
All right.
Where all that came from.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Great. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
I would like this party started slowly.
Except for Mitch McConnell, who would like us to do it more slowly. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us. Rick will be in San Francisco this weekend performing.
Yes, Saturday in Vallejo. At the Federally Theater at 8 o'clock, and then Sunday during the day, midday.
Broad daylight.
Broad daylight, outdoors. At Golden Gate Park, working Comedy Day in San Francisco. It's like a Woodstock for jokes. It's Woodstick.
You play them. All right.
Man, I have gotten that song a lot today. You were saying drums. Do I get luggage or mileage?
I have some luggage for you.
You got a new Monza
and a free bazillion power crystal. All right.
Call now to get 6 free minutes, and while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
There you go. Thank you for
feel
calling.
It.
Feel it.
We were saying, because you were saying, you know you're hitting chords when people get meaner, as we were saying, and somebody dropped the N-bomb about the president earlier on the show.
That's when you can tell.
We're not sure we were able to dump it in time.
That's right. They're going, uh-oh, okay, send in racist Petey.
Yeah.
Have him racist Petey call. He'll get him.
Yeah. So this is yet another story someone just sent me about it. It's just getting ridiculous. Obama has beer with Medal of Honor recipient, sparking debate between critics and reporters. So this is, he was going to be awarded the Medal of Honor. He's served in Afghanistan. So he asked to have a beer with the president. And he tweeted a picture of himself having a beer with the president. And it's just, there's nothing this president does that then the right wing doesn't take. And, you know, post snarky comments about, you know, it's just a photo op for the president, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Well, it's okay when Bush does it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is because members of the White House press corps retweeted the picture, but the soldier asked to do it, tweets the picture, and now this becomes another.
So what are you saying?
Know.
You're saying the soldier's wrong? Yeah, go tell the soldier he's wrong to his face. I want to be there to see you do that. Tell the soldier he was wrong for wanting that. Let's see you do that. Let the soldier bring some of his people. You bring some of yours. Let's see who wins.
All right. Rick Overton, are you a Facebook person? Chris and I were talking about it earlier this week, and I realized what everyone finally, because I don't do the interweb or Twitter things much.
Yeah.
It's a giant time suck.
I love the way Facebook keeps changing the rules on you. Like, you wake up the next morning, we decided to show a picture of your genitals to all your friends, because we thought it might make it easier for you to network with them. So we changed this while you had no control over it, and you were sleeping, and now you have to undo all the things we
I don't understand
give
it.
You the option to do it.
Yeah, I don't understand it in the first place, and that's what I heard this week. They changed it, your groupings
just
of friends or something.
To make it more complicated.
Yeah.
Now they know where your bedroom is and the security code to your door. We thought that would be easier for them to network with you at the edge of your bed while you're sleeping.
Maya Rudolph said she doesn't have time for Twitter or Facebook. She said, I have a lot of friends from college who say they went on my Facebook page or tweeted me. That's not me.
Oh.
Yeah. And we posted some of my vacation pictures, so then you go in to look at comments, which you probably shouldn't or shouldn't do, but then you end up spending hours doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I understand why I have not been sucked into the black hole
only,
that is Facebook.
I only follow the anti-social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more like it, right?
Yeah. All right.
We switched it to ass book. Now it's pictures of your butt. What? I didn't green like that.
I don't
we
remember.
We it for you.
We control the vertical. We control the horizontal.
Mm. David Hasselhoff's girlfriend knew she fancied him when she saw him in a hot tub. Woo, that makes me feel better. 28-year age gap between them. My girlfriend's only 17 years younger than I am, so I'm not...
Well, you know, but...
I'm only getting a partial toupee and a miniature Porsche.
I can't picture you combing over, baby.
As most of us have our first dates, he sent me a text asking me to go to Switzerland.
Sure.
Which is, that's, you know...
One country away from where he's famous.
There you go. He never wants to be that far from the country he's famous in.
That's right.
Then we were in Switzerland in the hot tub, and his hair was all wet, and I looked at him, and I thought, wow, you're really hot.
Well, it's a hot tub.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hot and sweaty.
David knew the romance would blossom when shortly after they met, when it emerged that she didn't know much about his acting career. Well, that would seem to me to be the only way that you would be interested in David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Yes.
During the music, just the singing alone.
During the dinner, she said, who did you play in Baywatch? And that was when I knew it was the real deal.
I was the ocean. Get in.
Hope he wasn't eating a hamburger in the hot
tub. That's
tub.
Right. I filled the hot tub with whiskey.
Cordon bleu.
Get in. Get body drunk with me.
Carolyn Kennedy says her daughters were horrified by Jackie Kennedy Onassis' old-fashioned view of the role of women in taped interviews released this week. In 1964 interview she did, the young widow described her marriage as a rather terribly Victorian or Asiatic relationship, and this she got all her opinions from her husband, President John F. Kennedy.
Oh. Mm. Asiatic.
But that was the way all women were in that. My
More
mom was a political wife. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I don't have any opinions of my own.
She started out, like, she turned into a, like, more human-sounding person, but she started out real kind of Stepford-y at first, didn't she?
What a lovely decor.
What's on the first
one? Why, yes, I think it would be fine if there were hookers in the White House pool. I think whatever you think. All right, come on.
Speak English,
come
Jackie.
Come on now. Come on. I'm just saying. Oh, dear, Jim, this will make you sad. Murdoch's U.S. hacking woes grow. In a Tuesday full of bad news for Rupert Murdoch, including confirmation his son James will have to testify again.
How they do that?
Parliament about News Corp's sprawling phone hacking scandal. Perhaps the most troubling newsflash came in the form of fresh charges in a shareholder lawsuit. The suit targets Murdoch's senior managers as well as News Corp's board of directors for refusing to curb serial wrongdoing. Inside the company, the suit also alleges Murdoch helped foster a culture of misconduct that's damaging News Corp's reputation and costing hundreds of millions of dollars in legal fees.
There's the cop's Nike. And so, of course, justice will be served by nothing really happening about it.
Yes, by...
We'll
yes.
see a news report, we'll see him testify, and the story will go away.
How about this one? News Corp's second largest shareholder accused of drugging and raping a model. Will that one fly?
What?
Saudi Prince Al Alwid bin Talal, or as Tom Brokaw would say.
Oh, he's good.
Or Chip.
He was a member of the Latvian Olus team at Lillehammer.
He's the billionaire media mogul. Billionaire. Who owns a
I apologize. It was the Lithuanian Olus team at Lillehammer.
He's being investigated in Spain on allegations that he drugged and sexually assaulted a young model on a yacht on the Mediterranean.
Sexually assaulted a model?
Yes.
Wow.
It was
a pun.
And it flew out on all
airlines. And to tell all of you.
Local Felisa obtained a semen sample after the woman complained that a sample of her blood contained traces of a sedative.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's the latest in a bad meeting with Rupert Murdoch.
He got semen into her blood?
No, I think
it was pretty. That was pretty rough
that's,
stuff.
No, that's...
You got chocolate in
oh
my peanut
my
butter.
God.
Two different substances, not...
Oh, I see.
No. Found entirely
gotta use
separately.
Protection there. That's a. Never there's been proof of that, man. You got to throw the wetsuit on, man.
He knocked through
a couple of walls like a contractor there.
Please bring the kids out in the daytime in San Francisco this weekend to see Rick Overton.
Yeah, none of this material.
Yeah.
Will you see during
and he
the
makes
daylight?
Balloon animals too. All right. Join us tomorrow for Eric Burns.
Pants.
And hopefully John Bugle sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.